The Bible reading today is Romans 4, verses 1 to 4, and that's on page 1128. So, Romans 1, verses 1 to 4. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Well, good morning everyone, and let me take the opportunity of wishing you a very happy Easter. This is one of our great celebration occasions as Christians, isn't it? I want to start this morning by reading you a little bit out of a longer poem by the Christian poet Steve Turner, poem in which he's poking fun at certain aspects of our culture. And he writes this: "We believe in Marx, Freud, and Darwin. We believe that everything is okay as long as you don't hurt anyone, to the best of your definition of hurt, and to the best of your knowledge. We believe there's something in horoscopes and UFOs. Jesus was a good man, just like Buddha, Muhammad, and ourselves. He was a good moral teacher, although we think his good morals were bad. We believe that all religions are basically the same. At least the one we read was. They all believe in love and goodness. They only differ in matters of creation, sin, heaven, hell, God, and salvation. We believe that each man must find the truth that is right for him. Reality will adjust accordingly. The universe will adapt. History will alter. We believe there is no such thing as absolute truth, accepting the truth that there is no absolute truth." And it goes on. That's Steve Turner poking fun at what is a very popular point of view in our society, isn't it? The view that says, I choose what it suits me to believe, and my personal beliefs are none of your business. I may believe in Marx, I may believe in Freud or Darwin or Jesus or anything or nothing, and it's got nothing to do with you. Each man or woman must find the truth that is right for him or her. My religion is private and it's personal, and don't you dare say anything different. And that's the culture we live in, isn't it? We know that. The problem with all of that is this. Here it is. The problem is the resurrection of Jesus. What we celebrate on Easter Sunday. The resurrection is a historical event. Christianity isn't founded on ideas or philosophies. Christianity is founded on facts, or that's what we say. The resurrection is the event that stands at the center of world history. Here's the thing. Jesus didn't rise from the dead, if that feels right to me. No, Jesus rose from the dead, whether I like that or not, because it's a fact. If Jesus was just a good man, well, there's plenty of other good men I could be following. Jesus is a great teacher and nothing more, well, there's lots of them around. But if Jesus rose from the dead, if that's true, then that pretty much detonates every other worldview, doesn't it? No one else ever did that. No one else ever claimed to do that. Now, just a moment ago, Charles read to us Romans 1, verse 4, about Jesus, who was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead. You can't say religion is just private because the resurrection was public. And you can't say truth is just personal because if the resurrection really happened, then Christianity is true whether you like it or not. And if the resurrection didn't happen, then we Christians are deceiving ourselves. So here's what Christians are proclaiming on Easter morning. The resurrection declared that Jesus is God's Son and declared that publicly. He was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead. Now, Jesus was certainly a historical figure. Practically no one is going to argue with that. Jesus was a man who lived in Palestine in the first century AD. His life is recorded in the Bible, but it's also recorded by secular historians, and so is his execution by the Roman authorities. So Jesus was a man, but Jesus wasn't just any old man. First of all, if you look at verse 3, we're told there he was a descendant of David. King David in Old Testament Israel, a descendant of David. Well, so what? Well, the Jews were waiting for the king God had promised them, their Messiah. They'd listened to Jesus' teaching when he came. They'd witnessed Jesus' miracles that he did, and they'd wondered, could this be the one? Could this be our king? The Old Testament scriptures told them that the Messiah would be descended from King David, and here is this man, Jesus, and he is. He is descended from King David. But the problem is he just doesn't look very much like a king. Jesus led a fairly obscure life most of his time on earth. He never traveled outside Palestine. He never commanded an army. Can you be a king without an army? He never sat on a throne. Can you be a king without a throne? He never even tried to overthrow the wretched Roman oppressors. In fact, he was poor and homeless and persecuted and arrested and despised and laughed at and humiliated and mocked and flogged and executed. If Jesus is supposed to be the Jewish Messiah, then something seems to have gone horribly wrong. Now, what we need to realize is this. There had been a whole string of other men in the 100 or so years before this who'd claimed to be the Messiah. And they'd raised money, and they'd gathered armies, and they'd commanded public support. And what had happened to them? How had it all ended up? They'd been crucified. They'd been arrested by the Roman authorities. They'd been put on trial for treason, and they'd been executed. And that was the end of them. And that was the end of their revolutionary movements. They died publicly on Roman crosses by the roadside where other people could see and be warned. Look what happens to people who claim to be the Messiah. They end up on a cross. What the crucifixion says is this. The crucifixion says, this man, this wasn't the Messiah. So what about Jesus? On Good Friday, Jesus gasped out his last on a cross. And the disciples buried his lifeless body. Dust to dust, ashes to ashes. Death claims another victim. And it seemed that all the hopes and the dreams of Jesus' disciples have been buried with Jesus. Messiahs don't get crucified. Crucifixion says this man wasn't the Messiah. And then comes Easter morning. And it turns out Jesus isn't just another pretender to the claim, the title of Jewish Messiah. He's much, much more than that. The tomb is empty, and Jesus has risen from the dead, literally risen, bodily risen. He hasn't just somehow disappeared. He can be seen. He can be touched. He eats and drinks. He walks and talks. This is no illusion. This is no wishful thinking. This is solid and physical and concrete and historical. And Jesus is seen by many, many witnesses. The resurrection is the public declaration of Jesus' identity. He was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead. So here's our question this morning as we set out. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? He's a man, but not just a man. He's the Jewish Messiah, yes, but he's much more than that. He's God the Son. He's the eternal Son of God. For a number of years, ages and ages ago, I lived in Edinburgh. I had a little flat near the centre of Edinburgh, and wherever you go, if you know Edinburgh, wherever you go in the city centre, there's the castle, up in the rock, towering over everything. It's great. And at night it's floodlit, and it looks majestic. It's beautiful. And each year, in the middle week of the Edinburgh Festival, towards the end of August, on the Thursday evening, they have this giant fireworks display. And they loose off the fireworks from the esplanade of the castle. £500,000 worth of fireworks, paid for by Glenlivet whiskey, all burned up in 30 minutes flat, and it's utterly brilliant. And before the fireworks start, they turn off the floodlights in the castle. And if you just arrived in the city right then, for the first time, you wouldn't know the castle was there. You simply can't see it. But when the floodlights are switched on, then it appears, huge and magnificent, dominating the skyline. It was Edinburgh Castle all along, of course it was. It was there all the time. But now you see it. Now that, I think, is what we need to learn from this. During his earthly life, Jesus taught his disciples privately. And when he spoke to the crowds, he veiled the truth in parables. And his identity was subject to so much speculation. Even his own disciples didn't really grasp who he was. They were pretty much in the dark. And then there was Jesus hanging on that cross. People couldn't see who he was. His glory was hidden. They knew he was a man. They'd hoped he might be the Messiah. They hadn't a clue he was the Son of God. And the crucifixion said to them, this man wasn't the Messiah. Like all these other ones that went before, what a disappointment. This man wasn't the Messiah. After all we'd hoped, after all he did, this man wasn't the Messiah. But then God raised Jesus on the first Easter Sunday morning. Then the floodlights went on. Then Jesus went public with his identity. He was appointed, he was declared the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead. And of course, he always had been the Son of God from before the world began. But what had the world seen? They had seen him living in poverty. They'd seen him laughed at and humiliated. They'd seen him suffering in weakness and dying in agony. When Jesus humbled himself to become a man, that didn't make him less than the Son of God. Not at all. What that did was add humanity to his deity. And then when Jesus rose from the dead, that gave him a greater stature still. His position in the world was completely transformed. No longer the suffering victim, now here is Jesus, the conquering hero, triumphing over death. As Paul put it, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Now his status is revolutionized from Son of God in weakness to Son of God in power. The resurrection is the divine reversal of the human verdict. Human beings put Jesus to death, and God raised Jesus from the dead. The resurrection declares, the resurrection trumpets that Jesus is the Son of God. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians in Corinth, and he said, we once regarded Christ from a worldly point of view. We do so no longer. Why not? Because of the resurrection. So, let me ask you this Easter Sunday, how do you regard Jesus this morning? Who is Jesus? A man? Well, difficult to get away from that. Jesus was certainly a man who lived 2,000 years ago. The Jewish Messiah? Well, maybe that question feels a little distant to us in the United Kingdom in the 21st century. But the resurrection proclaims something very much greater. Jesus is not just a man. Jesus is not just the Jewish Messiah. Jesus is God. God the Son. And that's not private. And it's not personal. And it's not the truth if you'd like it to be the truth for you. And it's not the truth provided there isn't something else you'd rather believe. It's just true. Or not true. Do you know, every year, the Oxford English Dictionary nominates its Word of the Year. And the shortlist for 2016 included Brexiteer, a person in favour of the UK leaving the EU. And then there was Chatbot, a computer program designed to simulate conversation with human users. And then there was coulrophobia. That's my favourite one. Coulrophobia, an irrational fear of clowns. But the winner, the 2016 Word of the Year, was post-truth. Post-truth. And here's how the entry reads. Objective facts are less influential in shaping public opinion than appeals to emotion and personal belief. But the Bible is committed to objective truth. You can't be a Christian unless you believe in objective truth. Jesus' resurrection is recorded as history. It's either true or it isn't true. However you feel about it, each one of us has to look at the evidence and come to our conclusion. Now, perhaps you're here this morning and you're visiting with us, or perhaps you come from time to time and you find this something hard to believe. Hard to believe that Jesus rose from the dead because people just don't do that. They don't just come back from the grave. Perhaps you say, no one else has ever risen from the dead, so Jesus can't have risen from the dead. Is that how you think? But you see, that's exactly the point. Jesus is unique. Jesus is the Son of God. No one else is. When Jesus rose from the dead, it was something completely new and completely unpredictable. The fact that Jesus' resurrection is unique isn't an objection to the Christian faith. It's the central claim of the Christian faith. It's the foundation of Christian truth. Jesus was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead. The resurrection declared that Jesus is God's eternal Son, and no one else is. Okay. But so what? That's a remarkable thing, an amazing thing, a thing we marvel at. But what's it got to do with me? What's it got to do with you, personally? What does that mean for me? Well, turn 3 or 4 pages forward in your Bible, if you've still got it open, onto Romans chapter 10. If you're using the Church Bible, it's page 1137. And let's just look at one verse there, Romans 10, verse 9. Romans 10, 9. Paul writes, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We live in a world which tries to squeeze God out. We try to keep him at arm's length so he doesn't make any demands on us. We try, left to ourselves, to pretend he doesn't exist. And God is angry. God made us, God owns us, God loves us, and we pretty much kicked him in the teeth, all of us. And what's so amazing is this: the man Jesus was God, and yet he came into this world as a man to die as a human being for human beings. He came and took the blame and the penalty which we deserve. Think of it like this. Think of it like this. The cross was the moment when all the evil and all the rebellion and all the guilt of all the world were all heaped up at one place, on one day, on one man, there to be dealt with once for all. That's what happened at the cross. How do we know that's true? How do we know that's what was achieved? We know it because of the resurrection. The resurrection declared that Jesus is God's Son, appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead. So what does that mean for you and me? Well, at the very least, it means a bit of a climb down. I amn't able to sort out my own life. I need Jesus. He had to die if I was to be right with God. Means I need to swallow my pride. Jesus is the Son of God. He was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord, the verse says. The Christian declares that Jesus is Lord. That was the first creed of the early church, these very words. Jesus is Lord. And when we take them in our lips, we're saying, yes. Yes, that's what we believe too. Jesus is Lord. We know it because God raised him from the dead. Jesus is Lord. And looking around the world, it's easy to look and to say, well, death is Lord, isn't it? Death always wins. Everyone dies. Death is Lord. But it's not true. Jesus is Lord. For those of us who are afraid of death, Jesus is Lord over death. For those of us who have lost someone to death, death isn't Lord. Jesus is Lord. The resurrection tells us Jesus is Lord. And if you confess Jesus is Lord, you're saying the same as millions of Christians around the world today. This is public. Heart and mouth go together. And to say Jesus is Lord, if you don't believe God raised him from the dead, is really rather silly. Why would you do that? If Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, then he isn't the Son of God, and this whole Christianity business is naive. It's a delusion. In many parts of the world, to say Jesus is Lord brings opposition and persecution and suffering. You'd have to be mad to say Jesus is Lord unless you believed in the resurrection. People are prepared to die for Jesus because they know Jesus isn't dead. People are prepared to die for Jesus because they know Jesus isn't dead. And it'll cost you and me something to declare that Jesus is Lord. Some people are going to laugh at us. Some people are going to be angry with us. Some people are going to reject us. But if we know it's true, we're going to keep on saying it. Because to believe Jesus is alive and to keep quiet about it, well, that's shocking, isn't it? Well, isn't it? If I discovered a cure for Alzheimer's and decided not to tell anybody about it, that would be shocking. If I found a cure for all cancer and I just thought I'd keep it to myself, that's criminal. Well, in the same way then, if you're a Christian and you know that God's Son died to save you and rose from the dead, if you know about that and decide that that's something private, and that's something personal that's just for you and it's very cozy, that's awful. But maybe you're here this morning because someone brought you along as a visitor. And maybe you're not yet a Christian. We're delighted you're here. That's great. Maybe the person who brought you along, maybe they've invited you loads of times. Maybe you wonder, why are they so persistent? Well, I'll tell you why. It's because they've come to know this truth. And they can't help but want you to know it too. Who is Jesus? Jesus is God's Son. What does that mean? It means he died to save me. So if you're here this morning and you're a visitor, be thankful for the person who brought you along or invited you. Easter is a great Sunday to come to church. Actually, every Sunday is a great Sunday to come to church. And every Sunday is a Sunday we celebrate Jesus' resurrection. So if you're here this morning and you're a visitor, be thankful for the person who brought you along. And now, I guess, now the ball is in your court. Come and speak to me after the service, or speak to Emily. Pick up some of the free literature on the table out in the foyer, or parts of the Bible there. There's no charge for them. Because you see, all religions are not the same. They're not. Buddha is dead. And Buddhists remember that every year on Buddha Day, and they wear black armbands. Muhammad is dead. You don't find any Muslims who claim that Muhammad is alive, but Jesus is alive. He was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, how we thank you for the resurrection and celebrate that great event again, particularly today. How we thank you that you are prepared to send your only Son to die a ghastly death so that we might be reconciled with you and go not to hell but to heaven. How we thank you for the resurrection which demonstrated publicly to the world who Jesus was and is, and what Jesus has achieved for us. Father, for those of us who've been Christians for many years, forgive us when we become over familiar with that marvelous truth of the resurrection. Stir us up again this morning to praise and thank you. And Father, for those amongst us who are not yet Christians or aren't sure, Father, please, as we look at the evidence in your word, convince us in our hearts that Jesus is alive. Amen.